Today I want to talk to you about the presence of the Lord. I'm going to be concluding this series, 2020 series. Anybody got anything out of this series? Has this 2020 series been good for you? Come on, let me know if you got it. We've been talking a lot about 2020 vision and what that looks like in our life. And man, how many know you can't have 2020 vision if you don't learn to see like Jesus, hear like Jesus, walk in unity that Jesus has called us to walk in? Today, I want to talk to you and just ask you the question, have you been marked by his presence? Marked by his presence. You know, the Bible is very clear on some issues in our life. Very clear. It's not a big secret. Like, sometimes we make this thing just be like some mystery. And I want you to know there's really no mystery when it comes to the presence of God. It's just some very much key things that God wants us to tune in and to be present in, to see the presence of God manifest in our life. And there's a reason why, because Isaiah says, I've read this and quoted this the last few weeks. Let me read it to you in Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait, let's say that, wait on the Lord shall renew. Anybody need to renew yourself today? Renew your strength, man. Those who wait, that's what we were just doing. We're just taking time to wait on the Lord. Our worship went a little longer today. Why? Because we were just waiting on the Lord. Why? Because it renews our strength. Makes us as new. Sometimes we got to renew. We take vacations to kind of renew our mind. We take time off of work when we're sick to renew our body. And what I want you to get today is just that we need to take time to renew ourselves. And that happens simply by no other way than waiting on the Lord in his presence. And then he gives us a promise. He goes, that those who do that, they'll mount up with wings like eagles. I love that he compares us to eagles, man. We're going to soar above the storm. Eagles have better than 20/20 vision. I don't know what they have, but I know this, that we read about eagles have, they can see up to 5 times further and stronger than we can. So I don't know if that's 100 or 100 or what that would be, but I'm just doing a little bit of math there. I don't know if it's 100 vision, what they have, but whatever it is, they can see 5 times greater than we can. So do you realize that when we wait upon the Lord, we'll mount up as wings as eagles? That means we can rise above the storm. We can see beyond the storm. See, for many times in our life, we go through tough challenges. We go through a tough season. We go through things that are really like a low point in our life, and we just can't see our way out. Man, when is this tough time going to end? When is this depression going to lift from me? When is this problem going to end? When is this hard time of walking through going to end? And see, but when you wait upon the Lord, you can mount up as wings as eagles, and you can see beyond the storm and knowing, God, I know on the other side of this, you're there. On the other side of this, God, you're encouraging me. On the other side of this, God, you got the answer. God, you've already got the answer, and you've already got a place prepared before me in the presence of my enemies if I'll just begin to see beyond where I'm at. And it doesn't happen unless you wait upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord allows me to see beyond my circumstance and see the big picture that God is in control. That God is in control. And he goes, if you do that, you're going to run. Some of you need to run again. Some of you used to run pretty fast. You used to run after God. You used to run after vision that God has placed in your heart. The fire of God burned deep in your life. But somewhere along the way, you let someone steal that from you. You let life come along and dampen it and put that fire out. And you got tired of running. You were carrying a burden by yourself. And ministry got hard and life got hard. And man, you stopped running. You were just walking. Then you stopped walking because you felt faint. But let me tell you today, that when you wait upon the Lord, he shall renew your strength. And he wants you to run again. He wants you to run after with vision and passion. He wants you to run after his kingdom. He wants you to run after the things of God in your life. He wants us to have that spirit. And that's what happens when I wait upon the Lord. Oh, I'm renewing myself in the Lord. I'm renewing myself in his presence. And you can't fake that. You know, Psalms 84:10. I mean, the Bible's trying to tell us something. Can we please tune in today and hear what it's trying to tell us? Better is one day in your courts. This is where we're at today, in the courts of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. than 1,000 anywhere else. Wow. Better is one day in the presence of the Lord than 1,000 anywhere else. So think of your most happiest memories today. What's your best vacations you had? You know, better is one day in the courts of the Lord than 1,000 at Disney, okay? Better is one day in the Lord than 1,000 anywhere else. That's what he's trying to tell us. When you truly come into the presence of the Lord, it's better for my mind, for my heart, for my spirit. There's a renewal there. There's an increase of passion once again. There's a healing that takes place. And he's trying to let us know, listen, the key is to truly be in the presence of the Lord, to truly operate in the presence of God. The Bible's been telling us this for centuries, that when we spend time in the presence of the Lord, we are renewed, that we are blessed, we are changed, we are empowered. Spending time in his presence. Look what Moses said in Exodus 33. Remember when God was getting kind of upset at the children of Israel and was like, Moses, all right, these people, I've delivered them from Pharaoh. I've brought them across the Red Sea here, and you know, all this has happened. And finally, he's like, you just take the children of Israel, go to the promised land. I've given it to you, but just go ahead and go. I'm tired of messing with these people. And look what Moses' response. He said to God, if your presence will not go with me, because I don't want to go. He said, God, if you don't go, we're not going. If you don't go, God, I don't want to go. He goes, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight and I, your people? Is it not your going with us that is that we are so distinct? You see, when God is with you, when the presence of God is with you, you become distinct. People understand, oh, there's something about that person. There's something that's changing in that person. That person, Ricky, used to be addicted. That person used to be addicted, but God is changing their life, and God is radically changing their life. And they're walking in, his friends. I don't know what's wrong with you, Rick, but something is changing. A year ago, this man walked in, but God has transformed his life, and he's bringing others with him. Why? Because where he goes, people are seeing something distinct about him. Is he perfect? No. But there's something happening. When we spend time in his presence, something happens, becomes about it. When we walk into work, there should be something marked about the presence of God. We should walk in to our jobs and people say, what's going on? You left here Friday, you were upset, and you walk in today, and now all of a sudden you're smiling again. What is it? It's the presence of God. He's renewed my strength. He's renewed my hope. He's made my burdens lighter. He's given me a renewed focus and passion. I should be distinct. We should be marked. We can't be just like everybody else, because God's wanting the radiant glory of God to shine on my face. The Bible says, and especially in the Old Testament, remember when people had encounters with God, they would walk in and go, wow, what happened to them? It would even change their appearance oftentimes. Their face would be glowing. The hair would change colors because they had spent time in the presence of God. When we spend time with the Lord, there should be something changing about us. And it does happen when you really invite the presence of the Lord. It's got to be a priority. We must learn to pursue it. But look at this. There's the presence and the manifest presence. The presence and the manifest presence are not the same thing. It's not the same thing. They're similar, but not the same thing. See, God is here whether we acknowledge it or not. The Spirit of God is here. God's presence, the Word of God says, is everywhere. God's presence is everywhere. And so his presence is here, whether I want to acknowledge it or I want to ignore it, doesn't change the fact that God's presence is here. I can't change that. But what does change is when I do acknowledge that the presence of God is here, then I invite the presence of God to manifest in my midst. That's the difference. And I want to be in the manifest presence of God, where I'm taking time, like we did this morning, to say, God, I know that your presence is here. And God, I'm going to lay down my worries. I'm going to lay down my busy thoughts. And I'm going to say, God, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. God, there is none like you. God, we worship you. God, we lift up your name. And there's something that happens when I acknowledge the presence of the Lord is here. It begins to manifest. And so when this section begins to acknowledge that the presence of the Lord is here, and this section begins to acknowledge, and this section, and this section, and this section, and let me tell you, the first service was just as full as this service. We're growing big time. Why? Because the presence of God is here, and people want to be in the presence of God. Why? Because it changes people's lives. People don't just want to go to a country club church and go in. It works for some. That's all right. But I'm just here to tell you, when you come into the manifest presence of God, it will change you. It will change your family. It will change your attitude. It will change your outlook. We say, God, I'm in your presence. There's something to this. I'm not coming just for a religion. I'm coming for a relationship, and a relationship that changes me. It's the relationship that God wants for me and you. It's his manifest presence, and it requires that I acknowledge it, and it requires that I surrender to it. Lord, I surrender to your presence in my life. God, I surrender, God. That's all it takes. We need to be people who are marked by his presence. So how do we do that? Number one, write this down. Let me give you three things. Number one, your passion secures his presence. Your passion secures his presence. Do you realize our phones are branding us? Come on now. You know this, right? If you didn't know this, our phones are recording everything we do throughout the day. Apps such as Google and other things in our phone, they are there because what they're doing is they're recording the places we go throughout the day. I saw a study the other day that said that they took a phone, disconnected it from the internet, put it on airplane mode throughout the day, stuck in his pocket, left the other phone on, connected to, you know, the Wi-Fi and connected to the internet all day. And he said he walked around all day long, intention went different places. And then they put the phones on a machine that was able to communicate and see what data was going to be uploaded to Google and other places. And when they turned on the one that had been on airplane mode, it actually recorded more data than the one that was left on all day. And it recorded everywhere they went. And so what it does is simply this. It's branding you and I. And so our phones are learning what our interests are. Like when I own my phone, it's going to tell me a lot about church and church conferences. And it's going to tell me a lot about pastors' conferences. It's going to tell me a lot about church curriculum and worship music. And I'm going to get worship videos. And I'm going to get a lot of those things. It's going to tell me a lot about sports articles and sports teams, the teams I like. And it tells me a lot about that. It tells me about the stores I like to go to. It tells me about the places I like to travel to. Why? Because it is reading my data and it's branding me so they can sell that to marketers. We are being branded. Every day we're being branded. That's why we wear, some of you are wearing the Chiefs already, right? You're still wearing your Chiefs. Even though they won it a couple weeks ago, you're still wearing the shirts, the jerseys. Why? Because you're branded. Man, you're all out Chiefs Kingdom, right? You're all out. And you're wearing what you're passionate about. We are passionate about things that brand us, and it's what brands us. The things we're passionate about, we get branded about. It'll show up on your phone. It'll show up in your timeline. It'll show up in advertising. It'll show up. If you're passionate about sports things, you'll have all kinds of sports videos waiting when you're scrolling through. You ever notice that? Some of you, yeah. Some of you are passionate about street fights. You'll see street fights come on there. Some of you are passionate about political things. You see political ads going through there and talking all the time. Why? Because it's branding us. We got to be people branded by the presence of God. We need to be people who are passionate about the presence of God. And number two, we must let God win the war for our worship. If you didn't know this or not, there's a war going on for our worship. And we must let God win this war. When we talk about wars, and you hear about wars, wars are usually happening because people are fighting over territories. They want to get this land, from this nation. This nation's fighting over territory and possession of this territory and control of this territory. And so wars happen when people are most of the time are fighting over territory. Worship is not a battle over geography. But it is a battle over cardiology, the heart. There is a battle for our heart that's happening. It's not a geographical battle. It's cardiology right there. It's what's going on the inside of us. There's a battle for our heart. And if you don't know this, you must know this, that there's a battle for your heart. And where is your heart really going to lie? Where is the passion of your heart? Where is the brand of your heart? John 4:23, Jesus said that the hour is coming, and it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is what? Let's say it together. The Father is seeking such people to worship him. Do you realize this? The Father is seeking you. The Father is seeking you. He's always been seeking you. The Father is seeking you. What would happen if we seeked him? What would happen if we learned to seek after him? See, when he's seeking us and then we're seeking him, then when that happens, we connect. And there's this glorious collision that happens, that God's presence begins to get manifested in our life because we are seeking him and he's seeking us. You know, I wanted to show a video today, but I couldn't find one that was short enough for me to use. But I love these videos of reunions where, like, a parent is looking for a lost child. And you hear stories, you know, today is not as common because it's a lot harder to do that. But, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was not uncommon for someone to go through extreme measures. If they went through maybe a hard divorce, that one parent would take off with the children and go move to another part of the world, to another part of the country, and they could hide there, you know. And I hear stories about, like, fathers who maybe lost in touch with their son or daughter. That, you know, her mom left, and we went through a hard custody battle, and one day she disappeared. And so I looked for my daughter, and I was looking for him. And my daughter was so young, she didn't know who I was, but she knew she had a dad, and she was looking for her dad. And the son was looking for the dad, and the dad was looking for them. And then one day they were able to, as technology is getting stronger and stronger now because of the internet, they were able to find each other. And then they had those reunions, and they run up and they embrace, and the tears flow. And they're like, honey, I never stop looking for you. And dad, I never stopped looking for you. And they embrace, and the tears are just flowing. You know, and I want you to know that's the way it is with the Father and us, that he's seeking after us. He's seeking us. He's looking for us. He's looking for some of you to return back home. You've left a long time, and you've been away a long time, and he's been looking. The Bible says that the Father is like the prodigal son's dad, that the son went out, and he made a lot of unwise choices, but he was looking for his son's return, and he was looking far off. And just as soon as the son looked back toward home, began to journey back toward home, it says the father saw him from a long ways off, and he ran to his son, and he didn't come and beat him around and said, son, what are you doing? You made all these mistakes, and man, you blew it. And he didn't do all that. All he did was simply wrap his arms of love around his son. It says, son, welcome back home. Put on him a new robe. Give him our emblem back. Get the ring back on his finger and give him new sandals. We're going to have a feast because my son is back. I'm telling you, the Father is seeking you. He's seeking. What would happen if a generation would understand that God is not mad at them, but he's seeking after them? There's some of you in this room today, you're here, and that's you. You've been thinking, God can't love me. I've blown it. I've done some really bad things in my life. And I'm here to tell you, the Father has always been seeking after you, and he will continue to seek after you. And you'll never find true peace. You'll never find fulfillment in your life until you come back to God, I'm coming back home. Father, I'm coming back to you. And allow the Spirit of the Lord to change your life. His presence, it's just overwhelming. There's a battle for our worship. If you didn't know this, the Bible says that Satan was the chief worship leader in heaven. Basically meaning that everything that was worship, every musical sound, every musical instrument played, every angelic voice, it all came out of him. He was like a one-man worship leader. Just sounds came out of him. Worship came out of him. Choirs came out of him. And people begin to worship, the angelic choirs be worshiping the Lord. And he's like, look at this, look at this. They're worshiping the Lord, and then it became to look what I'm doing. They're worshiping me. Oh, I'm the one producing this. I'm the one producing this worship. I'm the one. And the Bible says that he thought of himself higher than God. And that's when God took that rebellion and kicked him out of heaven. And so I want you to know today that Satan hates it when you worship. And he's seeking after your worship. So he may not get you out of church, but if he can get your focus on money more than God, what are you worshiping? What's your passion? If I can be passionate about my hobbies, about my sport, about my children, what is it? What is it? Where can he get me about the other things I like? If I become more passionate about those things, then he's winning the war of worship. No, my worship should always be first and foremost. Those other things are okay in their place. But the Bible made it very clear that we are to have no other gods before him. That he should be at the pinnacle of our worship. He should be at the desire that we're seeking him. And number three, your priorities will determine his presence. Your priorities will simply make room for it or won't make room for it. Will you make room for the presence of God? Will you make room? Will you prioritize for it? It won't happen unless you make it a priority. You made it a priority today to be here and to be in the presence of God with other believers. And it can't happen just on a Sunday morning. It's going to happen on Monday. How are you going to prioritize it? How am I going to spend some time? And maybe in my car, driving to work or driving to school or driving to do some errands. And man, I got to put on some worship music and I got to put my mind on God and just spend some time acknowledging, God, you're here. God, I want to spend time in your presence. How will you prioritize it? God loves to spend time with us. See, when I spend time in the presence of God, I hear him better. I see him better. I follow him better. I grow in him better. I want to serve him better. I want to give. I want to give better. I want to do everything I can to love better. I want to lead better. When I spend time in the presence of God, it changes me. Hebrews 11:6 says, whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he what? Rewards those who seek him. Let's say that last line again. He rewards those who seek him. All right, I renew my strength in your presence. I'm going to mount up as wings in your presence, wings of eagles in your presence. I'm going to run again in your presence. Better is one day in your presence than 1,000 elsewhere. Oh, you're seeking me to be in your presence. And then it goes on to say that he rewards those who seek him. Are you seeing the pattern that he's establishing for our lives? There's something to it. This is not a religion, people. I'm telling you, this is not a religion. This is a thing of a relationship that I simply want to be with my Father. I simply want to be in the manifest presence of God. I just don't want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in the manifest presence of God where his presence is being revealed. That's where lives are changed. That's where miracles can happen. Moses said it like this in Exodus 33, and he was talking to God. He said, God, show me your glory. Remember that? God, show me what you're known for. Show me everything about you, God, you're known for. And this is what God answered him in verses 19 and then verse 21 and 23. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Isn't it amazing? Moses said, hey, God, show me what you're known for. And God says, okay, this is what I'm known for, my goodness. My goodness. He wants you to know that he wants to be known for his goodness. He wants to give his goodness to you. He wants to give his goodness to me. He's got his goodness because I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, that's his goodness, because I will put out put you in the cleft of the rock. Remember, the cleft is of the rock was a place of shelter. That's where they went when it was storming. If they were outside, they hide in the cleft of the rock. And God said, there's a place by me. You come near me, you're going to see my goodness, and I'll place you into a place. There is a place. God says, I have a place by me. If you'll just draw near to me, I'll place you into the cleft of the rock. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. I'm telling you, there's a place that God has in the rock for you and I, a place where he shows us his goodness. He goes, it's by me you'll experience the goodness. It's by me you'll experience the shelter. It's there I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. He goes, and then I'll take my hand because you shall see my back, but my face you cannot see. He said, there's so much goodness you can't handle it. It's so powerful, you can't handle it. I only will give you a glimpse. But the good thing is this, that every day I can get a glimpse of the goodness of God. And every day I can discover something new about the presence of the Lord. And when I'm in his presence, I'm renewed. I can run again. In his presence, I am healed. In his presence, I have renewed in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit. In his presence, oh, that's where I want to be. Am I marked by his presence? That's the question you have to answer today. It's the question I have to answer. It's the question you have to answer. Have you been marked by his presence? His presence changes everything. And if he doesn't go, I don't want to go there. Listen, we've grown 100 people since January. It's crazy. Our first service is just, boom, filling up. It's just the biggest one. We've grown 100 people since January. But you know what? I don't want to go any further without God's presence. I don't know where God's taking us. I've got vision, and I know we direction, and we're following. And the finance team, we're praying. God lead us with wisdom. But I know this. I don't want to go if God don't go. I don't want to go if God's presence is not there. I want his presence more than I want a new building. I want his presence more than I want 1,000 people. I want his presence more than I want anything else. Because without his presence, we're nothing. Without his presence, we're nothing. Are you hearing me? Without his presence, we're nothing. Without his presence, we're nothing. And we must be marked with the presence of God. I want you to bow your heads. This morning, if you're here and say, Pastor, I was feeling that presence, and I don't necessarily know what all that means, but I was feeling the presence of God. And I just simply say, that's right. It's the Holy Spirit, the presence of God being manifested. When it happens, you're going to feel something. It's going to hit you right in your heart. It's going to do something on the inside of you. It's God just trying to draw you closer to him. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, it's time for me to, number one, I needed to give my heart to Jesus. I need to surrender my heart to Jesus. Maybe you've never done that before. Today's your day. The Bible says we must believe that he was the Messiah, God's only son. Then we must believe it, then we must also confess it with our mouth. Or maybe you hear and say, Pastor, I know God, and man, I haven't been seeking him. Today, I just feel like God wants me to return home and just seek him again and turn my life and surrender it totally to Jesus. If that's you, without anybody looking, I won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But can you just raise your hand where you're sitting and say, Pastor, it's me. God's calling me back. Yeah, come on, raise your hand. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, guys, thank you. Yeah, I see a lot of hands going up. Today's your day to accept Jesus Christ, man. Or today's your day to renew. It's I'm coming back and renewing my heart back to the Father. Either way, just raise it one more time. If you haven't raised it, raise it right now. Say, that's me, Pastor. Today's my day. Thank you. I see that hand. We're going to say this prayer. If you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer out loud with me. And as Christians around you, we'll help you as well. We'll say it with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. And from this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome home. Welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand clap. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, it's just the beginning of a new journey. It's not the ending, it's a beginning point, okay? If you really mean what you're saying, you'll come back and be in the presence of God. You'll get more messages. You'll hang around people who can encourage you, and you're going to get discipled. You're going to plug in. There's so much more, okay? Today, how many as you stand across the room this morning? How many of you just want to simply, as you're looking at me, say, Pastor, I want to seek His presence like never before. Today, I want to seek His presence. Come on, raise your hand back to you. Say, Pastor, I'm ready. Yeah. Come on now. I want to see God's manifest presence in my life like never before. Let's sing a song together in closing. Let's tell Him, God, there is none like You. You one more time. Can we lift our hands as I pray for you today? Father, I thank You. That God, I pray that we become people of Your presence, that we seek Your presence more than we want anything else. God, we seek to be in Your presence. God, I pray that Your manifest presence will be alive and well and increasing. Every week we come in, we begin to get amazed because Your manifest presence is building and building and building, and people's lives are being healed, changed, and delivered. Father, I thank You, God, that You're raising up people with a passion for Your presence. God, may that hunger always be there. May it be alive, and may we hunger for more of You and Your presence, and may we be marked with Your presence. And we say together, amen. If you receive that word, put your hands together and say, yeah, amen. Listen, I love you. Turn to somebody, give them a big high five, and say, I'm marked with this presence. How about you?